Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Talkin' Dogs, where we will be recapping the football season. I'm Kyle Ulbrich, and I'm here with Cohen Carpenter. As a member of the football team, what do you think about the overall record so far?
Yeah, so we finished the season 5-5. I think that placed us good for fourth in the GPAC, which was a pretty good finish. We started off the season really well. We played Northwestern College, who, if you're looking at the rankings now, obviously their playoffs haven't concluded yet. Northwestern, I believe, is going to be the favorite to win it all. I think they're ranked number one in AIA and started off the season pretty good. We only lost to them 48-35, so by two scores. Overall in the season, I think the one big takeaway, if you're just going to the Concordia website and looking at the schedule, is you had a lot of close games with a lot of good teams. There was a lot of good ranked teams that we played this season. I think we played with some tenacity pretty much throughout the entirety of the season.
Yeah, and I think you could tell a lot of those close games were at home. I mean, I think it's all the sports. Concordia, home games, our stadium's kind of like a fortress. We always play well at home. So whether that be winning games big, losing games by small margins, Concordia's a really good place for us to play.
I think it really starts with football. You know, it's one of the first sports out of the gate. Everyone goes to the football games. Everyone tries to go to the football games. You got a lot of the student section there. And, yeah, as a member of the football team, I can definitely say, we had a lot of good energy. Even when we were going through some rough patches in the middle of the season, fans still showed up, still was loud in Bulldog Stadium, and we were able to finish the season pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, part of that good success was the offense. I mean, you guys averaged 30.8 points per game this season, most since 1987, it looks like. So who are some of the key guys to that offensive success?
A lot of things, I think, go into that. So Coach Nelson was our offensive coordinator. This was his first year with Concordia, and he did a really good job with the offense. I think if you're going to watch any of our games, the thing that's going to stand out to you, really jump off the page, is how fast we were moving. We get that first down on most of our drives, and we were right into tempo. We were hustling up to the line, and it played a big toll, especially some notable games. I think our last game, if any of the Bulldog faithful were able to watch that on the live stream, we were playing Mount Marty. Credit to Mount Marty, they were a really physical team, really big up front. But I think, that's the real benefit of the tempo is when you get those big teams, you kind of get them on their heels, you get them huffing and heaving, and that's when you can really start putting yards into the stat sheet. So the tempo offense was really a big part of it. I mean, 30 points a game is nothing to scoff at. And then you've got a great quarterback at the helm, DJ McGarvey. We'll dive into him later, but he was setting records all season. He had some good weapons to throw to, Austin Jablonski. I believe he was either first or second in the NAI in total receptions and in reception yards. So he had a great season, and you got other guys, really good run game. Devin Ziegler was a 100-yard rusher in most games. Mark Arp had a really good season for us, and all around, I think it was a great offensive effort putting us in games.
Yeah, I mean, lots of big players on the offense. Let's dive into that Mount Marty game a little bit, because it looked pretty close at the start, but then that second half, you guys kind of just took it away from them.
We tried to run the ball a lot more, control the play clock, and we did a good job of that. Mark Arp and Ziegler, I think they rushed for almost a combined 200 yards of offense, and it kind of shows up on the stat sheet. I think DJ only threw for 140, maybe 170. So it was a really different approach where it worked, though. It worked. They like to load up the box a lot, and we were better than them up front. We thought we could be more physical than them up front, and I think we proved that we were. 45-21 is not, and that Mount Marty team was really interesting coming into the season, because they held Northwestern to 50 rushing yards. They had beat Midland, and Midland had beat Dort, but then they on the same side they got blown out by Doan. So a big question mark coming into the last week of the season was, we have no idea which Mount Marty team we're seeing. Are we going to get the halfway competent Mount Marty team, or are we going to get the beat by Doan Mount Marty team? It didn't help that they had their bye week right before, so they had a lot of time to prepare for us. So I think we started off a bit slow, but we were able to put the game away in the end.
Yeah, I mean, a really good overall performance, both the offense and the defense. One of the biggest games for the defense, only allowing 21 points. But let's talk about the best game for the defense. It was a loss at Dakota Wesleyan, but only gave up 16 points. What were some of the keys to that defensive performance?
Yeah, that game sucked. Dak West, it's one of those teams that, you get a few of these games every season. I think anyone who's played any sport will tell you this. A team that you think you can beat going into the season, and you're looking at that and you're not writing them off, but it was a really close game. Offensively, I think we failed to meet a lot of our goals. And it was one of two games that really kind of stunk it up. I think at home too, was the Dak West game, which was very close. And then you have the Midland game, which was at home. It was a one-score game, lost in double overtime, which was brutal. You change two of those losses, and you've got a significantly better record on your hand. The defense played their hearts out, I think, at a lot of points in the season. And they struggled at times, just like the offense struggled at times. But they overcame adversity. And I think in the last two games, I think against Doan and Mount Marty, they had defensive scores. So they really showed up out. I think the whole team really showed up at the end.
Yeah, I mean, let's switch over from a disappointing loss against Dak Wesleyan to the biggest game of the season, your best performance when you played Doan at home, scoring 55 points, only allowing 26. Tell me a little bit about that.
Doan's a huge rivalry game. I think everyone in Concordia understands that. There's a long history between Doan and Concordia football. They've been back and forth through the years. You know, you can go back to those 70s teams that won those championships back in the day, and I think Doan was their big adversary. Definitely not a game we were taking lightly coming in. We knew they had some weaknesses. We knew that we had some weaknesses that we could exploit, and I think we did a really good job of doing that, especially being down in some places personnel-wise. We were able to kind of come up. I think it's a really good thing about you could say about this team this season is we had a next man up mentality. When there was some personnel losses, some injuries throughout the season, we were able to overcome it, and we really didn't let it go, and definitely not in the Doan game. We were able to put up 55, which I think was a season high.
Yes, it was indeed, and I think it shows a lot of character coming back after that tough loss against Midland, losing, as you said, in double overtime, to be able to pummel a rival like Doan like that. What were some of the keys the rest of the season? I mean, coming in, I know you're a transfer student this mm-hmm. year. Coming into the team for the first time, what was the team culture like, and what were the keys to the success of the team that the coaches were showing?
Well, that's always the trick around college football is, you know, bigger than some of the wins you're going to have on the field is trying to establish that culture. And I think what you can say about Coach Dabrakow, the head coach of Concordia football, is that he does a really good job with the culture. He's really good at hammering home what we need to be on and off the field. He does a good job after practice. We're praying. We're reading from Proverbs. After a win or loss, we're singing the doxology. So he knows what it's about to be a coach at Concordia University. We had a really good culture this season, just as a team in the locker room. It helped us get through some of the more tough points of the season and kept us in there until the very end.
Yeah, you mentioned the coach was a big part of the culture. What about team captains, upperclassmen? How crucial were they to both the success on the field and the culture that was built off the field?
So we've got a few notable names. I mean, the guys who show up in the stat sheet are one thing. So you got, you know, your DJ McGarvey's and Austin Jablonski's. Obviously, their effect is pronounced on and off the field. But then, you know, you got O-line guys, Tyler Walford, who was a senior coming into this season. He showed out, was one of the big leaders on the team. And then you've got guys all across the defense. Seniors who play a role, even though they may not fill up the stat sheet as much, they're just as much there for team cohesion. And it was really a team effort getting us to the end, and we finished 500.
Yeah, and I think that culture shows, like I said, in the game against Doan. But let's look at the win against Hastings. Coming off a tough loss, losing 6-62 at Morningside, to then being on the road the very next week and taking a team like Midland 44-23. How'd you guys do that?
Yeah, you didn't have to say the score there. No, but the Hastings game was good. It was a tough one. I think a lot of people were dealing with injuries after the Morningside game. There was a very good chance to get caught up in, you know, self-loathing, self-pity, because that's a brutal loss against a very good ranked Morningside team. I think they went on and would beat Northwestern. I think they may have finished the season 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nothing to feel bad about, although we did feel bad about it.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned the score is to show how much you guys were able to bounce back after that.
Yeah.
I know lots of teams after a result like that, they might crumble. Their whole season might go poorly, because if you guys ended up losing all your games after that, could have been a 3-7 season or a 2-8, but mm-hmm. you guys were able to bounce back after that game and put together a really impressive season. I think it was one of the first 500 records in a few years.
And you take out that Morningside loss. So, I mean, you know, anyone can play the hypothetical game, and hypothetical games are great because they can't be observed, so you can't be wrong. But let's play the hypothetical game. So If you take out, we mentioned the two close losses, Dak West, it was a one-score game, only lost by four, and then you take out the Midland loss, which was just a brutal way to go in double overtime, then you're looking at your only three losses on the season being against Northwestern, against Morningside, and against Dort, who are all top 20 opponents. Mm-hmm. And I think combined, those three teams may have two or three losses among them. I think we played pretty good football for most of the season. Obviously, you would want to win those close games against Dak West, but you know, an officiating call there or a bad play there, and those turn into L's on the stat sheet. But I think this is, overall, when you look back on the 2023 season, I think this is going to be something that you can hang your hat on, and we're definitely building something here for sure.
Yeah, definitely a building block. And let's go into where you go from next season. So yeah. Obviously a good season, but what are some of the things and who are some of the guys that are going to help improve the team next year?
That's a good question. We lose a few crucial pieces across the board, but we keep a lot of good pieces as well. McGarvey, DJ is going to stay. We saw how he was able to break a lot of those records. I don't know if he has the passing yards record, and then I saw that he's got the touchdown record. A lot of that's due to longevity, and he's committed a lot to this program, and he's going to be here next year, and it's going to be exciting to watch how we can build on what we already said was a very exciting offense. We retain most of our offensive line, so that's going to be good. You know, the guys up front are really what make the offense go, and keeping those guys, keeping that seniority is really crucial for a team. Defensively, we're going to keep a lot of stars. We're going to defensive guys like Fellhoffer and Stirrup, guys who've, again, filled up the stat sheet this past season. It's going to be exciting to see how they can build on their game going into next season. And then, obviously, you're always going to look for what recruits and transfers can bring. You know, a lot of excitement to the football team. So I think this is going to be a good team. It's going to be a good mix next year, hopefully, of youth and senior leadership.
Yeah, so talking about that youth, obviously, anytime you're going into a new season, you're going to be losing some guys. And you mentioned you're keeping a lot of those older upperclassmen. But have there been any underclassmen this year that you think can really take that next step and perhaps put their name on the stat sheet?
Sure, yeah. Give a shout out to my roommate, Adam Van Cleve. He was a sophomore transfer. This is his first year playing football, actually. And he came in first two or three games of the season. He kind of put up some crazy receiving yards. He was doing a really good job. We were throwing a lot of screen balls out to him, and he was taking them to the house consistently. Got injured in that Jamestown game, unfortunately. Was out for the rest of the season. You know, some pieces we're going to lose at receiver, maybe Jabbo, maybe Arline. Look for Adam Van Cleve next season. He's a young guy who's probably going to pave the way for more exciting opportunities on the offense. There's so many guys. Again, we really did, especially, I know on the I'm not as intimately involved on the defense. I'm an offensive lineman, so I'm not in their defensive room meetings, but I know they did have a lot of injury. There was an injury bug, especially in the secondary. They had a lot of freshmen and sophomores come and step up at the corner position, at the safety position. You know, that game experience is really crucial, especially if you're going to go next season, start a few games. It's going to be something exciting to build off of.
Yeah, obviously, whenever an upperclassman or a starter gets injured, it's a big hit. But like you mentioned, it gives those younger guys a chance to prove themselves in games, which ultimately will make them better for when they're the starter. And then they can push those new recruits, anyone else who transfers in, they can push everyone else to be better. But yeah, any closing thoughts on the season as a whole?
Like I said, I've said it before, it was a good season, 5-5. It may be not the record that you were hoping for, but I can pretty much confidently say we played good football throughout the season. And, you know, just to reiterate one of my previous points, the 2023 season is going to be a building block for the future success of this program. I truly believe that there is trends that I believe were started this season that should carry on throughout next season, and you're going to have seniors and leaders who are going to grow from this experience, grow from the close losses especially, and I think this is going to be overall, it's going to be a better football program because of that.
Awesome. Really looking forward to seeing you guys play next season.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Just make sure that, you know, we get the Bulldog faithful out to Bulldog Stadium and show up and show out. Anyways, that's going to be it for our first episode of Talkin' Dogs. I've been Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Please be sure to join us. Next episode is going to be the recap of the soccer season. Now, this is a very young podcast, so we're still working out the scheduling. We're still working out what's actually going to be on the itinerary. Look for season recaps of the fall sports, and then next semester, we're going to try and get y'all weekly uploads, just breaking down the dogs, and we're going to be talking dogs. Thank you for listening.